Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch, got your back, Coach 96, we do the most. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking, heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey fam and friends, hey, welcome to Coach P's Perspective, where coaching, inspiration, and faith collide. This is your host, Coach Chad Parks, and thank you for joining me today. I'm a college All-American wrestler, coach, and the author of the best-selling book, Game Changing Moves. This background has allowed me to train elite athletes, coaches, and high performers from all walks of life. So if you need a pick-me-up, a kick in the pants, or a coach in your corner, I got you right here on Coach P's Perspective. Let's go. All right, hey, you guys know that I'm a wrestling coach, I'm a lifelong wrestler, and I'm passionate about the sport. That being said, all wrestlers love wrestling shoes. You got to have the best shoes. And for me, my top choice is Terra Grappler. This company's only been on the market for a couple of years, and they are making a huge impact, game changers. Ever since I started wearing Terra Grappler wrestling shoes, I have not went back to any other brands. First off, man, they look good. You got to be swagged out whenever you're wrestling, but they have to be functional. The fit and form of these shoes is tremendous. When I put them on, they have a sock liner. They absolutely mold to my foot. They feel perfect. I wear them on the wrestling mats. I wear them whenever I'm lifting weights. But honestly, I could probably wear them anywhere. They feel so good on your foot. So if you're looking for a good wrestling shoe, coaches, wrestlers, MMA fighters, boxers, weightlifters, make sure that you check out Terra Grappler. All right. They also have beanies, t-shirts, socks, accessories like that. But man, I'm telling you what, this company is innovative. They are changing the game. You can go to the link in my show notes, get yourself a little discount. You can also sign up for the Champions Club. So every time you purchase or people purchase using your link, you can get yourself a discount toward wrestling shoes and Terra Grappler wrestling gear. They are the best on the market, hands down, guarantee you. Check out the link in the show notes. All right, hey, welcome to another episode of Coach P's Perspective. I'm pumped today. We have Caitlin Neal. Let me go back and say Caitlin Katniss Neal, so which is her MMA fight name. Those of you who end up watching this on YouTube, you'll be able to see that she literally looks like Katniss. If you listen via podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, you can imagine. So Caitlin is an MMA fighter. She is a trainer. She is a founder. She's a businesswoman, right? So Bad Athletics, we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. Just sort of an all-around, what I would say, high-level human being who is really pursuing her goals and her dreams, and we want to share those. So, Caitlin, thanks for being on.
Yeah, no, thank you. What an introduction. That was very nice.
So, you know, one of the things I try to do is bring high-level performers on here from various areas. And I'm a big believer, principles are principles. And once you know them, you can apply them towards success. And so to find out, you know, what's behind the scenes and also just share great stories. So kind of starting there, tell us a little about, like, you know, where did you grow up at? What sports did you do? You know, we know you're an MMA fighter, but like what sports did you do growing up? And just a little bit of your background before MMA.
Yeah, so I grew up in Utah County. So it was kind of random that I became an MMA fighter as it was. My household was a Mormon household. So we went to church every Sunday. I had all sisters. And so I didn't really like have brothers beating me up or anything. I grew up doing dance, gymnastics, and cheerleading. I was a cheerleader. I was cheer captain my senior year of high school, and then it wasn't until my freshman year when I didn't make the cheer team is when I started MMA fighting. So that's kind of where I came from, and it's just really random how I even got into MMA in the first place.
Yeah, well, I can say that so I'm a head wrestling coach for a high school, a boys and girls team, and half of my girls wrestling team are cheerleaders. And you
really?
So a lot of people wouldn't think those two go together, even me, like, but man, my cheerleaders can scrap. So maybe there's something about cheerleaders. I mean, they just have this internal fire and an ability to go out and put it on the line, which is pretty cool.
They're feisty. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So let's go ahead and jump into that then. Like, you know, so was it your freshman year in college, you said that you didn't make the cheerleading squad, and then all of a sudden you transitioned to MMA. So how did that come about? Did you just see it on TV, or did somebody bring you to a class? Like, what's going on there?
Yeah. So, I knew I wanted to stay competitive. I was always very active growing up, obviously doing dance gymnastics and cheerleading, and my parents were always avid exercisers. So I knew I wanted to stay active and I wanted to compete in some way. So I was thinking like, bodybuilding or CrossFit, and I actually did two bodybuilding shows. But then my freshman year of college, my friends took me to some MMA fights, and there was one female fight on the card. And after I watched that fight, I was like, I'm doing that. And nobody took me seriously, but I went and found a gym. I signed up, I started training, and it was all downhill from there, I guess uphill from there.
Yeah. That's crazy. So you saw a show, kind of fell in love with it, and just started pursuing. So now, tell me about bodybuilding real quick. So you did a couple of competitions there. I mean, I grew up, so my dad, I just grew up in a household where we worked out a lot too. My dad's a Hall of Fame wrestling coach, but we lifted weights all the time. And he introduced me to sort of the bodybuilding lifestyle as a kid. So I'm probably like one of the only kids. I had like Muscle and Fitness magazines in my room, and I had like pictures on my walls of bodybuilders. And so tell me a little bit about the bodybuilding world.
Yeah, so I did two bodybuilding shows and I just realized it wasn't for me. I hate dieting, and that was like one of the main things of bodybuilding. So I was like, oh, probably not. But it was fun for like the two shows that I did it, but I don't think I would do it again. But I still love like health and fitness. Like, I am a fitness coach. But yeah, that's kind of my gist of bodybuilding. I didn't get too far into it. And that was when I was 19 years old. So that was like 10 years ago. And today it has just like gotten so much more crazy. Okay. My physique back then would not have gotten me any placings, but I placed my first two shows. So
yeah. Okay. Well, you know, listening to it, I mean, between cheerleading, gymnastics, bodybuilding, and those are all things that are going to make you stronger, more athletic, kind of leading into MMA. So when you started training MMA, you know, did you find a great gym right away? Did you say like, hey, I'm going to focus on MMA specifically? Or did you say like, I'm going to do that, but also like go to some grappling tournaments, some jiu-jitsu? Like, tell me how your MMA, I want to say training into into like actual competitions progressed.
Yeah. So I knew I wanted to do cage fighting. So MMA, like everything. Mm-hmm. I started with Ricky Lundell. I don't know if you're familiar with him. So I started with Ricky Lundell, and I stayed there for like about a month, but then I found a bigger gym because he wasn't there all the time. He was back and forth from Utah to Vegas. Mm-hmm. So I found a bigger gym called the Pit Elevated, and that's where all the like the huge fighters were coming out of Utah at the time, like all the UFC fighters. And that was like super fun. So I started all the martial arts that I know at the same time. So boxing, kickboxing, Muay Thai, jiu-jitsu, wrestling. And my coaches wouldn't let me take an MMA fight until I kind of like proved myself. I don't think any of them really believed in me. I don't know if I was just that bad at sparring. I don't remember myself being that bad, but I guess they saw something. So I took three grappling tournaments and I took first place in all of them. And so they're like, okay, maybe this girl kind of has something. And then I took a Muay Thai fight behind all my coach's backs, and I actually got yelled at it for it before my fight. Because my coaches didn't think I was ready at the time, but I won that fight. And then they're like, okay, so maybe she is a little bit ready. So then I did another Muay Thai fight. I also won that fight. And so since I won all of the grappling matches and all are both Muay Thai fights, so like, okay, fine, you can take an MMA fight. So took my first MMA fight. I won it second round submission, and that's kind of how it all came together.
Okay. And then how many MMA fights before you went pro?
I had, so the two Muay Thai fights plus six amateur fights. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. So, all right. So before we move off the MMA topic, what's your sort of ultimate goal there? Are you still training? Like, hey, I want to make it to the UFC. Are you like happy with Invicta? I mean, like where do you want to go ultimately? The big dream, the scary one.
Yeah, so ever since my amateur career, I've had 8 pro fights so far. So I fought on Bellator, I fought on Invicta, and now I'm signed with LFA. And I fight for LFA, which is awesome because it's a feeder promotion into the UFC. All my teammates that fight or have fought on LFA got on the Contender Series this year, and 2 of them got UFC contracts. So it's kind of cool to watch that. But yeah, my ultimate goal is to make it into the UFC. That's kind of my one dream, is to be in the UFC.
Very cool. So yeah, then those are all great promotions. So Bellator and Invicta and LFA, and yeah, LFA has become an absolute feeder.
Oh yeah.
The UFC, which is awesome. All right. And then, you know, as far as training goes right now, because I know that you're also a fitness coach and trainer, and then we'll talk about Bad Athletics here in a little bit, but what is your, and I think I saw something about you had a knee injury at some point, but so what's your training look like right now?
Yeah, so I am recovering from an ACL surgery. I just got surgery on my ACL 4 months ago. And before that, I tore my meniscus in my opposite knee and I had surgery on that. So I got surgery 2 Septembers ago on my left knee. And then I did all the physical therapy and recovery for that. I probably got in 1 good month of training and then I tore my ACL. So I've been out, and by the time I am able to fight again, I will be 2 years laid off. So I'll have a little bit of ring rust by the time I'm back in there, but I am like super eager to get back in there. So my training right now is just like physical therapy 3 times a week, lots of weight training. And I'm slowly starting to add in a little bit more agility and running in right now.
Yeah. All right. Yep. I've had both those surgeries and not fun. Yeah. Especially the ACL surgery, not fun at all, but you know, I work with a lot of athletes, I do mindset for a lot of athletes around the nation. And we just focus on the things you can control and don't worry, don't put emotional energy and effort into the things you can't. And yeah. So like you said to me, you're working out, doing your physical therapy. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can do, but it sucks when you have goals, and especially when you're like an on the go person. So it's tough.
Uh-huh. It's true. And plus with this, the whole COVID thing, like fighting is the one thing that is still going right now. So yeah. It's like kind of like nails on a chalkboard, because a lot of people at my level are getting like put in the UFC short notice fights because people are dropping out because of COVID. So I'm like, dang it, this is not good timing.
Yep. So, but it's weird how things work out, you know, work out right. And and COVID has not been fun, still not fun, but there are things that I think a lot of people have jumped into and really focused on during that time because they had more time. So now let's kind of talk about like fitness, you know, fitness coaching and training. How did you get into that world? Just because you love working out and the way you grew up?
Yeah, the way I grew up watching my parents being so active and like avid exercisers, I thought personal trainers were like the top of the top. That was like the coolest job to have. So I always knew I wanted to be a personal trainer until I realized how much money they made. And I was like, oh, maybe not. But then I got into it online, which you can reach a lot more people that way. And so I do a lot of online workout challenges. And so that's been fun. And I do still teach group fitness classes, which I really like, because I still like being in person, like one-on-one with people and having that like energy and atmosphere. But it's way awesome to be able to reach people like across the world and help them with their nutrition goals and their health goals.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Training it's awesome. I have a lot of friends that are trainers. And at one point, you know, I thought that maybe that was a route I would go, but yeah, it's a ton of work. You don't get paid a whole lot. Like you said, I mean, you got to really grow your business and put a lot of energy and effort into that. But those who have been able to pivot immediately and, you know, jump into the online world, because especially, you know, when COVID hit, those are the people who are able to have a lot of success really fast. So is that something you were already doing prior to like this whole COVID period, was the online training, or did you jump into that or just ramp it up?
Yeah, no, I've been doing online training for probably 6 or 7 years now. So I've been doing it for a hot minute. So it's been nice to be able to have workout challenges that people can do in their homes when they're like really needing it right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. And you have a big advantage, you know, over a lot of people that, I mean, especially if they're a trainer and they have, no technology background, you know, things like that. And they're trying to figure out how to change their own game a little bit so that they can survive, right? Or even thrive. So this is a time that you could thrive.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's been awesome actually for Bad Athletics specifically. Like our business has really grown ever since COVID came COVID started, because I guess people are like more looking for those at home workout challenges and ways to stay busy or like have something to look forward to or set goals right now. So I feel like that's like really helped them.
Yeah. Okay. So you mentioned it. Let's go ahead and jump over there. Bad Athletics. All right. So Bold and Determined. Am I right with that?
Okay. Yeah.
So Bad Athletics. I mean, it's tough for a lot of people. Like you are a brand, like you yourself are a brand. Have Bad Athletics as a brand, but it's tough for a lot of people to make that jump and really jump into a big business and start a brand like that. So tell me like the genesis to where you are now and your vision for the future with Bad Athletics. Like how did it all start? And
yeah. Where did you go? So I used to work at a supplement company, and that's kind of how I started doing the online workout challenges. And the company sold, and then a different ownership took over, and it was just a not fun environment to be at anymore. And so I kind of like it lost its luster. And so I just quit, even though it was like everybody's dream job to have. I had girls messaging me almost every single day being like, how do I get in your position? How to become a trainer like you or whatever? And I was like, you don't want it. Like, I promise you don't want it. But yeah, so after I quit that, I was like, I still want to do that, but I want to bring my own fun environment back to what it was when I first started. So after I quit, I was like, I could do this. And I started my own supplement company, Bad Athletics. So we do online workout challenges. We have a meal plan or a meal guide, and we sell supplements through that to kind of help guide people and help them in that way. That's how I started Bad Athletics, is that I used to work for a supplement company and it just wasn't fun anymore. So I wanted to bring the fun back and got Bad Athletics back.
Yeah. Now you seem to, you know, looking on your website and the Instagram site and all those type of things, really have a focus and a heart for women and help encourage women and to be bold and determined. So tell me about, you know, the whole thought process behind that with Bad Athletics.
Yeah. So especially with fitness and women, women are treated so poorly or like told really toxic things. And I don't think they understand that they're being told that, like they're being told to go work out so they can find a man, or so they're going to go and work out so that they can look a certain way, or go work out so that they can have a bikini body so that they can be looked at, rather than to go and work out so you feel good, go and work out so you can be stronger, go and work out so you can take control of your health or your mental stability or whatnot. And so we kind of wanted to go through and help women specifically with that. I know that does happen with males, but it's like a little bit more prevalent in women. So that's kind of why that's my focus, is women. And also with MMA, the women's are so underserved. Women are so underserved because, like, if you look at all of the MMA brands, it's like if they have a women's section, it's the men's clothes but smaller. So it's like not really for women. And even if you see like the sports bra or something, they'll have like boobs popping out. Like, it's just not functional for women. So we really wanted to go in and help serve women that way.
Yeah. No, I love it. First off, I got a mama, I got a sister, I have a wife, and I have two daughters. And then I coach ladies too. So my wife's actually a volleyball coach. I help train. I do all their strength conditioning in their off season. And then I, you know, coach women's wrestling. So for me, whenever I see a brand like this, that's really trying to empower women, and like you said, and not sexualize or downplay or anything like that. I mean, as soon as I kind of like read through your website and looked, I'm like, this is awesome. I love this. And it's not like the supplements are just for women, because I'm a nutrition nerd. And I looked through there and looked at the ingredient list, and I was like, okay, like this is the real deal, man. You got some good supplements in there, and a lot of the stuff, a lot of the ingredients are coming from some of the top level companies. Anyway, so as I look through, I'm like, okay, Bad Athletics is the real deal. And then the focus here seems to be, it's like you have your niche and it's a very positive one. And it's something that I hope just grows and grows and grows. And I mean, it's already big, but I think it'll continue just to take off. So I admire that, you know, I think it's great.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But also with like our supplements, we don't have any ingredients in there that's like specific to women or for women. So like men can totally take it. I will have men message me and be like, hey, so don't tell anybody, but I take your protein. Or they'll be like, or I'll have women message me and be like, can my husband take this or will he grow boobs? I'm like, no, we don't put any estrogen in there. He's fine to take it. You got it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I said. Whenever I kind of saw the focus and everything, and then looking at the supplements, then like I said, these are legit ingredients, man. I mean, these are things that I would. So, like I said, I'm a nutrition nerd, and I've been using supplements for years and years. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna get on some of this stuff. I'm gonna have to jump on here and try some of these products. And
yeah, super high quality. I try to make them like the highest quality that you can get. All like naturally flavored, naturally colored, naturally sweetened, highest quality of protein available, or highest quality of BCAAs available, or creatine. So it's like, I'm really trying to like make it a high quality product for people.
Absolutely. Now, how much work goes into that? I mean, just the creation of the products. I mean, do you have teams that you're working with? And I mean, tell me about the creative process when it comes to making some, you know, some of the best products.
Yeah. So in the beginning, it was like all me putting like everything together. And like, I had one guy that I would like talk to a little bit. And then, so I was just kind of like trying to like research what was the highest quality thing. And then using my background of being in another supplement company. And I would hear all these customer complaints about like, some ladies didn't want sucralose. Some people wanted vegan protein powder. Some people were like whey sensitive or like whatever. So I tried to take in my background of working at that company and try to eliminate like all complaints. Like, I want it naturally flavored. I want it naturally colored. I want it naturally sweetened. I don't want anybody to feel like they can't take it because we added like one wrong ingredient in there. I wanted like people to actually want to take it. And so in the beginning, it was more just me and kind of like going off the knowledge that I had. But now I have a business partner, and he has a team of people. And luckily, we have a product developer, and he is a rock star at it. So I'll come up with like ideas of products, or he'll come up with ideas of products, and we'll go back and forth like as a team, and then we'll try it all out. We have like a team of people in the office. And so we sample all the products, we find all the ingredients we like, and he does like all the research behind every single ingredient. He finds like all of the studies that have been done, and he's just like crazy with it. He does way better than I ever could. So I really trust him with that. But I, of course, like approve everything that we also release too. So,
yeah. I love hearing that, because not just about the products, but whenever you are a leader of an organization, there's a point when it grows so big, you can't do it all yourself. So then you have to hire people, you have to bring people on to work with, and then you have to trust them to do their jobs, right? So what are some of the leadership principles maybe that you've learned along this journey so far?
Yeah, I feel like with me being a professional fighter and then running all of my social media accounts, that in of itself is like a full-time job. Yeah. And so there's a girl that we have managing Bad Athletics, and then there's an operation girl. So she looks over like all the numbers and all the day-to-day tasks and whatnot. So we have two other girls that are like really managing it, and they're just doing an awesome job. And then we have another team of people. So it's hard at times. Like, it is challenging because I feel like Bad Athletics is my baby, and I don't get to say what happens with like every single little thing, because I would just go crazy if I did. But it's been awesome to kind of see it grow and evolve just in the almost 2 years that it's been launched. But yeah, I mean, that's all I have to say about that.
What is your ultimate goal with Bad Athletics?
My ultimate goal with Bad Athletics is to, grow it as big as it can grow. I want to be the number one nutrition company for women in sports. So hopefully we can achieve that, and hopefully we can get there.
Excellent. Very good. So, all right, being a high level performer, And I mean, it's crazy because you're wearing all these hats, right? You have all these things that you're doing. You have to probably have, I'm assuming, a pretty good organization that gets to a point where you have to. And I do a lot of things. And so my to-do lists are crazy and I got to write them down, but I have a list of daily habits or things I got to get done, right? So What are some of the habits that you've created, whether it be like a great morning routine or nighttime routine? Like, what are non-negotiables for you? These are things I'm doing every day to become a better human being, a better fighter, business person, just highest level I can be.
Yeah. So, I mean, number one is exercise. I make sure that I move my body at least once a day. And so like 6 days a week, that's like lifting, cardio, like a little bit more intense. And then one day is probably just like more of a rest day, like stretching, active recovery, but I'm still actually like moving my body. That's a non-negotiable. I just know that I'm going to do that because I've been doing it for so long. Another thing is to drink water. I make sure that I drink water every single day. It's like a gallon a day around there, plus or minus, depending on my training schedule. I'm trying to think of what else. I wish I journaled more, but I don't. I feel like that's my next goal that I'm going to be working on is journaling. But other than those two things, as long as I get those two things done, like drinking my water and, I guess sleeping 7 to 9 hours every single night, is like a big non-negotiable for me. And I don't think people understand how important sleep actually is for them and for their health and for their overall well-being. So I guess sleep, eat well, drink my water, and then, exercise.
Yeah. Good. So like I say, I like to have a list of things I do daily, but I tell you what, like, as long as I'm kind of the same way, as long as I get my exercise in, like, I can tell you right now, everything else is going to function correctly. Like, I'm going to be able to do all the other things. I'm going to be able to have the energy and the mental focus to do all the other things. If I go more than one day without exercising, my wife doesn't like me very much and has nothing to do with physical appearance. It's just, I'm a much nicer and better person if I've worked out and exercised. And anyways, yeah, so those things just run a lot smoother. Now, you know, it's crazy because even though there's maybe a little more free time during COVID or whatever, it's like stress levels are at all time high. People are so scared, so fearful, which means that your immune system's compromised. Sometimes people aren't sleeping well, or I think a lot of people like to have a schedule and maybe now they're having to work from home. And so they're trying to figure that out. So stress relief is big. What are some of the things that people out there, so, you know, looking at the fitness coach and trainer side of you, what are some of the things that people can be doing to reduce stress, to maybe boost their immune system and just feel better, like with all the madness going on out there?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like those are what I said with my habits. It's like making sure that you are getting 7 to 9 hours to sleep every single night. That is so crucial to hormone regulation, your body recovers, and it just, there's so many different things that go into there, like balancing your hormones and stuff. And so 7 to 9 hours of sleep every night, move your body once a day. It doesn't have to be like rigorous exercise if that's not your thing. You can go out for a walk, you can stretch, you can do whatever, just as long as you're moving. I highly recommend that at least like once a day and being intentional about that. Drinking water, a lot of people dehydrated. Another thing is right now, especially in like the winter time, get vitamin D in. I feel like a lot of people don't really think about doing that, but since there's no sun, people are already stressed out, maybe a little bit depressed as it is. Vitamin D helps with depression, like from the sun. So maybe try a supplement with vitamin D and that could maybe help a little bit, but more stress relieves, talk to people, reach out and talk to people, talk to your mom, talk to your best friend. I've done that more now than I ever have. Kind of just like open up, and it's okay to be scared. It's okay to feel these feelings, but make sure you are feeling your feelings and not just numbing yourself. I know there's times when I will like read something or whatnot, and I'll get like a lot of stress or anxiety, and I'll just go numb myself by like watching TikToks or something instead of actually confronting that feeling and understand why I'm feeling that way or whatnot. So talking to people or journaling, and there's no shame in having a psychiatrist or like help in that way, getting a mental health coach to help you with times right now or in life in general. It doesn't have to be just because of COVID, but yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's is crucial right now. And a lot of people are maybe overlooking that or not allowing themselves to do the things that they need to do to, you know, in order to de-stress, feel better. Like I said, keep their immune system strong. I got to know, you know, owning a supplement company, what is your, because again, I'm a supplement nerd, what is your daily regimen? I got to know what, you know, Caitlin Neal's daily regimen is for supplements.
Daily regimen. Okay. So right now I wake up, I take a multivitamin and vitamin D, and then I take pre-workout, I go and work out, I come back, take my protein shake with some sort of carb. And then, if I work out again later in the day, I'll drink BCAAs mixed with creatine. And yeah, that is the whole regimen right now. If I feel like I'm lacking something else, I'll go and grab something else. But yeah, it's the main thing.
Okay. And then what about, there's all kinds of eating plans out there. People say, you know, eat 5 or 6 times a day. Some people say only eat twice a day, intermittent fasting. And you know, there's a lot of things out there. Just what works for you over the years? I mean, as you went through bodybuilding, MMA, and but the main thing is you are a high level athlete. You know your body better than most people do. And you just have to whenever you train all the time. So the way you eat, what works for you?
Yeah. So when I first started and getting it, when I was getting into bodybuilding, I would count calories and track my protein. I wouldn't really track fat or carbs, but that was like the main thing. As long as I ate my daily allowance of calories and then got in at least 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight, I was happy. Like that's what I would do. And as I kind of like evolved into like an MMA fighter, I don't track my foods anymore just because I'd go absolutely nuts if I tracked it all the time. So I generally eat healthy. Like, I eat a lot of eggs. I eat a lot of protein. I eat a lot of lean meats, veggies. I could be a little bit better at veggies, but I try to get them in. And then like whole grain carbs, oats and whatnot. So I try to eat like a well-balanced diet. And then you just got to eat slowly till you're like 80% full. And just even when you're hungry, I don't necessarily eat like mapped out meals. I used to, when I was bodybuilding, I was a lot more strict about on that. But, and I think at the beginning of any kind of health journey, you do need to be strict on what you're doing, whether it's like you're counting calories or macros. You need to go through like a time where you are strict so you can learn it. So you can be a little bit more loose and flexible so you can eat more intuitively. And when you eat more intuitively, you actually, like, opposite to what people think, is you actually crave healthy foods and foods that your body actually wants to like nourish itself. It's not all just like eating donuts or pizza all the time. I mean, you still eat those, but it's like in moderation every once in a while, right? So when I have a fight camp, though, I'll go back to tracking my calories and making sure I get in enough protein just so I can make weight, because I fight at 125 and right now I'm 145, and that's typically where my body sits at. So making 125 is like really hard for me. So I have to make sure that I am counting the calories and getting in enough protein so my body has like enough food to recover, but also like I'm still losing weight up to the fight.
Yeah. Yeah. I like what you said. You know, you've been doing this so long, it's intuitive now. But for some people who are maybe just starting a health journey, being more strict. And I know I don't count calories, haven't for years, but I was a competitive wrestler my entire life. I've wrestled over 1,000 matches. And I think like just so long eating so well and having to cut weight and all those things. It's amazing when you have to cut weight, because you could feel great. And the second you have to start cutting weight, you're like, I'm freaking starving. You know? Oh, yeah. So mental. And I think a lot of times when people count calories, it becomes so mental for them because they're always so worried about it. And it's like, instead of having a like hey, here are healthy things I can enjoy. You feel like restriction mode. So it's like, oh man, I can only have this many calories. And so you have this mindset of like restricted. Then you always feel like you're hungry or you're always thinking about it. It's like you said, you can drive yourself nuts.
It's true. Yeah. I totally relate to that.
Yeah. So it's a fine line, unique process. I understand everybody's body is different. Mm-hmm. You do any sort of fasting at all, intermittent or longer fast?
No, not really. I mean, if I'm not hungry in the morning, like if I ate later the night before, then I probably naturally just like won't eat until 12 the next day, but it's not because I'm like trying to intermittent fast or anything. It's just because that's kind of how the day went, you know?
Yeah. I like hearing that because you are a fitness professional and again, high level athlete, but you know your body, and it's so many people jump from like diet to diet, thing to thing. And I'm big on staying consistent. And again, once you eat consistently for a long period of time, it kind of becomes intuitive, which I think
is,
and you're not having to worry and freak out about it all the time. So,
yeah. And then it's nice to know like how your body functions on certain foods. Like if I eat oatmeal and eggs for breakfast, I feel so much better than if I were to eat like pancakes and syrup or something. So it's good in that way too. Just like focusing more on how you feel instead of like, or how the foods make you feel instead of what you're actually eating. Because some days there are days where I'm like, I really need a cookie right now. And that cookie, like I'll go and eat it. I'm like, that made me feel awesome. And I don't like regret that one bit. I'm like, that was great. That's what I needed. And then I move on.
Yeah. Very good. I love hearing that because it's real, right? It's real. It's transparent. It's not something where everybody feels like so much pressure to always eat, just great 100% of the time or to look a certain way. It's like, hey, here's my goal. I'm going to go for this. I'm going to try to stay really consistent. But I'm not going to just freak out if I ate a cookie. Because like you said, sometimes it makes you feel good. I mean, it really does. But there are other times. I know for me, like, it's easy for me not to eat bad foods a lot of times because I don't like the way they make me feel. And so I think, like, I really don't want to feel like that. I'm not going to eat it. But there are other times that my mother-in-law makes chocolate chip cookies. And so I got to eat chocolate chip cookies.
It's true. Yeah, there's a pizza place in Utah called The Pie. And every single time I eat there, it's delicious. So good. Best pizza ever. But every single time I eat there, I just feel like garbage. And so there's like a point where it's like maybe once a year I'll go there and I'm like, okay, this is my one time a year. I know I'll feel crappy afterwards, but I got to enjoy my favorite pizza place.
So, all right. Well, I like to ask everybody this question and it especially applies to athletes. Okay. I call it fast feet because we got to have quick feet as athletes.
Okay.
You can answer all three or you can just choose one and then expound upon it. I want you to tell me about either a highlight, a hero, or a hardship in your life. Okay. Highlight, hero, or hardship. And then expand upon it as much as you want.
Whew. Okay. Highlight, hero, or hardship. I would have to say I'll go with hardship. Okay. So when I didn't make the cheer team, I grew up as being a cheerleader. I thought I was going to be a professional cheerleader. I knew I wanted to be a professional athlete. And when I didn't make the college cheer team, I was like, what on earth just happened? I made varsity as a freshman. I was captain my senior year. I was always on like all-star teams. I was always like front and center. So I was used to like winning in cheer. My team always won and every competition we ever went in, we would get first place. And so I was like, when I didn't make the college cheer team, I was like, what the heck? I was like, how did I not make the college cheer team? And I felt like so rejected. And it was like really embarrassing for me to go back to my high school team and tell them I didn't make the college cheer team. And so that was like a really low point in my life. And plus when you graduate high school, you're moving on to college. You just go through this weird transition period as it is. So you're like kind of trying to find yourself. And now that I don't identify as being an athlete or being a cheerleader anymore, I'm like, what am I? But then that came to be one of the biggest blessings I've ever been through, because then I found MMA, and MMA has opened so many more doors than I think cheerleading ever would have. So just if you are going through a hard time right now, if anyone's listening to this, whoever's listening to this, and you have been like rejected or shut down, just know like bigger doors are opening for you. There's a reason why that didn't happen.
Yeah. No, I absolutely love hearing that, because we all go through hardships in our life, and so many highly successful people, you know, they say, okay, man, like I went through the hardest point. I was in a valley here. And then, but out of that, hindsight's 20/20, I can now look back and say that that was a blessing. And so it's, none of us like to be in those moments, but we're all going to experience those in life. And it's like, hey, how do you bounce back? And then how can you have the perspective to just keep on moving forward, find that next thing, and then go. So I absolutely love that. That's good. Now, if you were looking at athletes, okay, and this is just sort of like a little offshoot question real quick, but if you were looking at athletes and kind of comparing your journey, would you say that your training in cheerleading, bodybuilding, or maybe not just MMA in general, but like you could pick any of the martial arts, which have probably been the most taxing for you, and then which have been the most enjoyable? And maybe it's the same.
Gosh, that's hard. Because the dieting with bodybuilding and having to look a certain way and like have your body look a certain way, so you had to like really care about what you were eating, like exact macros. That was really taxing mentally on me, and I didn't like that at all. So, but as far as like physically taxing, I would have to say wrestling is like one of the hardest things I've ever done. If you have like a strict wrestling practice, it's so grueling, so hard. I don't know how high school boys do it. Like I'm like complaining as a 28 year old doing it. So I'm like, kudos to all wrestlers, now that I know what you like, I have a little insight of what you go through. And that's like maybe one day a week that I'll get that wrestling training in. So yeah, definitely wrestling is the most physically taxing. The most rewarding thing, is that what the second part of the question was?
Yeah.
The most rewarding thing has to be fighting, like MMA in general, because, or I would have to say sparring or fighting, actually fighting, because you are challenging yourself physically and mentally, and it's one of the hardest situations that you can put yourself through. So it's like, there's no way that you can't grow from it, because no matter if you like, if you lose or if you do, if you have a bad sparring match, you're going to learn something from it.
Well, let me say this. You just won over about 70% of my audience whenever you said wrestling is the hardest thing, because I have a lot of people in the wrestling world from all over that, that listen to this. So all the rest of the people are just like, absolutely, she's right. I think it's so funny as a coach, because I'll have football players that come in, and actually just this past week, we started our season 2 weeks ago, and had this football player in there, and he was like, this is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. It was after practice. I mean, I think he said it almost every day to me. I'm like, yeah, you're right. It is, but it's going to be a blessing too, man. It's going to be one of the best things you've ever done after you allow yourself to get in here and go through this. So, you said earlier, I'm going to make this the last question, but Your identity was kind of wrapped up in cheerleading. So whenever that was taken away, you're like, who am I? I think as athletes, as business people, I mean, I think just in general, a lot of times we find identities. And I've done this multiple times as an athlete and as a coach. And so when you lose, all of a sudden you're like, who am I? Or when it's done, so when your career's done, who am I? How important is it for you now as a fighter and as an entrepreneur, whatever, not to make those things an idol or your identity, but to like actually know who you are as a person? Tell me a little bit about that. Just your thoughts in general on that.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's still hard for me to balance because I'm currently in like the middle of like my fighting career, right? So I have to realize that I bring so much more value to the world than just MMA fighting or just being a businesswoman or whatnot. Like, I am a good sister, I'm a good daughter, I'm a good friend. I there's so much more to me than just being an MMA fighter. And so I have to constantly remind myself that, like, if I do lose a fight, not everybody's going to hate me, right? They like me as a person too. So it's kind of reminding myself of that, that I'm more than just a fighter. I bring more to the table than that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cause it's a lot of pressure as an athlete, you know, whenever that's what your identity is based on, like you said, then if you do lose and all of a sudden, like, you question yourself so much. You know, I always have to tell my athletes all the time, like, hey, the people that really matter, they're going to love you win or lose, right? Regardless, mom, dad, family, good friends, teammates, win or lose, they're going to love you. They'll hurt with you as well, you know, during that process. So it's something that I think we all got to think about and not let our identities be wrapped up in just wins or successes or the thing that we see ourselves as. I mean, I see myself as a wrestler and as a coach, right? But also, like you said, more than that in life. So, you know, as we're wrapping up here, Caitlin, I just want to tell you, thank you so much. And how do we follow you? How do we follow Bad Athletics? Tell us your socials and all those things where we can follow you and websites.
Yeah. So my Instagram is Caitlin Katniss MMA. My TikTok is Caitlin Katniss MMA. Facebook also Caitlin Katniss MMA. And then my Twitter is just Caitlin Katniss. I'm not super active on Twitter, but those are all the platforms for me. And then Bad Athletics is badathletics.com. We also have an Instagram that you can find through my Instagram. It's in my bio. So.
Okay. I'll make sure I put all those in the show notes. I'll go check out your TikTok. So just over quarantine, my kids got me. I'm actually a really good dancer. I can break dance and stuff. And so my kids just got me doing TikToks a little bit. So over quarantine, I did a few little dances, a few little things. I'm not big into TikToks. Kind of played around with it. And I just get on and watch for entertainment sometimes. But it is a fun platform. It really is.
It is. So you dance on there? Like, you have your own TikTok?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. I'll have to follow you too. Yeah. My TikTok content is like completely different than all of my other content. It's like the real behind the scenes Caitlin, just of how, like, maybe weird of a person I am, how goofy I am. So on Instagram, I'm a little bit more serious and professional.
Yeah. No, it's fun. It's fun. That's why I like the different platforms. People, it's like you literally like see kind of different sides of their personality, but then you kind of get to know the person as a whole that way too, which is great.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Like I said, so I'll put those, I will put all those things in the show notes for anybody listening. So you can follow Caitlin on all of her social platforms. Then you can follow Bad Athletics and go and check them out. Get yourself some of their supplements, get those in your body. So again, thank you so much for being on here. Thanks for providing your wisdom. And then also your energy, man. I can feel it. Like, you have a really good, you're an upbeat person, it feels like, and that feels good. So, and I've enjoyed speaking with you, but I know as people are listening to this on podcast, like, they're going to be like, oh, okay. Like, it's going to bring a little light to the day.
Hopefully it does. Hopefully. Yeah. But yeah, thank you for having me on, and it's been awesome talking to you. It's really fun.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, all right, y'all, this has been another episode of Coach P's Perspective. May God bless you and give you peace and shine his face upon you. Until next time, we're out. Hey, before you go, I just want to tell you, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Coach P's Perspective. And then a couple things that I would ask. One is hit the subscribe button. That way, every single time a new episode comes out, man, as soon as you open up your podcast app, it is right there, ready to roll. You can listen to a new one. The second is, if you would, and we earned it, give us a 5-star review, a quick written review. Especially if you're on Apple Podcasts, that's great. You know, one of the ultimate goals is to grow the show and to positively impact as many people as possible, and that helps. And then lastly, jump over to lanefrostbrand.com. Visit my friends over there. You know, this is an incredible company, family-owned, operated, honoring the late, great Lane Frost, who is, a former rodeo champion, was one of my idols growing up. And this is one of my absolute favorite companies. So if you need ball caps, t-shirts, all kinds of apparel, again, go over to lanefrostbrand.com and check them out. Thank you guys again. Much love and God bless.
Podcast complete. Now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins. Tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step. CSL rep. Pop, lock.